grain of rice. A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Morning, folks. How are you all? We're bright and early this Monday morning, so you'll excuse a few gravelly voices around the place. We're not usually this early. We like a mid-morning start on a Monday to ease our way into things. But this bar work is getting the better of me, lads, this late night. Mark, you shaved and all, in fairness to you.
Up early, Dale, the early worm. The early bird catches the worm, Dale. So I'm not feeling great. I can tell you, long shift last night, and we had a second shift in the touch around half to late. So, bit of a struggle this morning. But at least I'm not after losing the county final, like the other poor man there on the camera.
I was going to try and ease him into it, but
straight in with the boot. Typical Anders.
typical Cork Hoggy. Joined by Brian Hogan. Great to have you, Hoggy. Tough old morning to come on with us, but fair play. You said on Thursday you'd come on, and you came on. You were a bit shook there, kid.
Yeah, I've had better mornings, but I was hoping to be coming on celebrating a victory in the Tom Welsh Cup and coming back to the club and everything, but it wasn't to be, unfortunately. But I'm sure we'll get into it. But you know, I don't know. I was sitting in the stand for about 15 minutes after trying to just figure it out, because the lads had hurt so well, done so many things right, you know, and still to come up short by 4 points. It's just
unbelievable,
you know. Yeah,
unbelievable. Great game to watch, I have to say. The Tom Welsh Cup, I thought you might have it on there in the background, because you know, like if the likes of Gary Spillane won it, it would be definitely appearing in the background there, inside in the cube. How are things, Teej?
Great, Dello, great. Unlike you guys, I wasn't pulling pints. I wasn't commentating the matches or at county finals. I was on Easy Street on the couch, so I was able to take a lot of sporting. So, yeah. And I was going to say that the reason we're late or early this morning is it looks like Mark shaved. Looks like there's somebody paying, I'd say, later on in the day. There's a big client going to be messed sometime during the day, isn't there?
Yeah, but like, come here. That's the reason we're on so early. He's gone off cleaning out some poor lad, and then he's gone off buying horses for the next 2 days. Like,
selling this week, Dale. The tats.
Selling.
Did Goshen run
over the weekend?
No.
Non-runner. Ground went against them. We got a bit of a black type over the weekend, all right. Grand Roy is what he's called. He ran in Navan in the Grade 2, finished third. They led actually over the last. And we'll be happy enough from Gordon Elliott trains him, Davey rode him. So with the half-sister, I was looking forward to walking the park.
You got a stroke of luck, because if Lord Porter didn't fall at the second last, he wouldn't have been third like so.
Probably not, no.
You need the brakes.
TJ, it's all about luck, boy.
It's all about luck, absolutely.
If you fell out of Burton's window, you'd land in a suit, Lando. So, TJ, you were just taking it all in. Did you watch Liverpool yesterday evening?
I did. Yeah,
I tell a Hoagie, you got it hard for us in no TJ. You're after getting this twice as hard.
I did. I got, in fairness, Dale sent me a text last night to know that I get to see much during the day, so I give him the full rundown of my day. I told him what I see, and I watched the full Kilkenny final. Very enjoyable match to watch. Neutral and all unfortunate for you, Hoagie. I got to see the game in Cork. I liked the first one on the Examiner page, which is great. I saw all the refs in Navan. And I saw the second half of Liverpool and West Ham.
Do you have any time for the dinner?
I got that in the middle, in fairness to Louise. She looked after me during the day, yeah. Can't complain, no.
How's the racing like in Navan, TJ?
Good. Gordon Elliott's a couple of nice young horses there coming, like they're all coming up. Willie hasn't played his hand yet, like, so the season is set up nice now. I'd say the two of them will have a fair rattle off each other as the season goes on. But yeah, pretty good.
He launched a nice juvenile on Saturday as well. Is it TP2 beat Quilliots by 8 or 10 lengths?
Well, he's actually in open class now with T. Hupo, yeah, so one to watch for the coming season. But the point I was going to make to you guys this morning is This was a conversation I had with a guy called Tom Maloney during the week, right? We were talking about GAA TV, right? And it struck me yesterday. So racing has its own full-time channel covering racing in Ireland and the UK. And actually, on a separate note, before I forget about it, is watch the Breeders' Cup as well, Mark, on Friday night and Saturday night in Del Mar. Great job. Actually, on Saturday night, told ourselves it's going on the list of things to do. I'm going to get there in the next couple of years. That is the plan. But to go back to plan A, right? Is there a case to be made for GAA TV?
I'd say it's only a matter of time, TJ. I'd say, look at watching the streaming, you know, and I've been, like, I even showed the Clare County football final down the pub yesterday. I paid my €10 and I just clicked in the smart TV, and the attendance in Murty's Lounge yesterday was better than it would be, I'd say, at 2:30 on a Sunday. You know, lads, come out. They could watch it at home, fair enough, but they out, had a pint, sat down, watched it. The Townies and Aero beating Kilmurry, Ibrickin. And, you know, people enjoyed it. Like, and I'd say it's a matter of time. I think the one thing I was going to say, TJ, when I was thinking about all this last night, and God, we've nothing to fear from the split season, lads, if we promote the club stuff.
100%.
I mean, so much entertainment. Like, I really think that now. Watching yesterday, obviously put up an old tweet there that I had to turn down your man there in the top left when he started talking about the little Al-Aland. And I watched in the Kilkenny final, I had him on, I just turned it down. I could hear Shawnee McGrath, right, but I turned your man off. I couldn't go up. But, like, I mean, what a day is entertainment, like, you know. So
savage.
I think properly, and TJ Cahir do a brilliant job, obviously, but properly marketed and put out there, I think, Jesus, next year when the All-Ireland is over at the end of July, we have savage club campaigns going ahead.
But then I think to give, like, probably true maybe support to the different tiers in, like, the hurling, like Narty, all the way down to Christie Ring, say Laurie Mar, all the competitions there, right? And even for the footballers when they eventually make the right decision that they know and go junior, intermediate, and senior, like to give all those competitions the time. And then when you come to the other side of it, like you take yesterday, things like the Laois County Final, maybe the Westmeath County Final, even the County Final in Armagh, right? To at least have them on over a period of time that everybody can see them, and round the country, everybody will get to see the amount of content, because the GAA has more content than racing, let's be fair. And if you want to look back and stuff, and in fairness there at night, even on racing TV, if you happen to miss the racing during the day, Mark, or if you were commentating on two matches, you can come home and there's a full replay, and then you can get to watch all the big festivals over and over again. So yeah, I would say, no, as you said, TG4 do a brilliant job, like yesterday, to see the Kilkenny final and the coverage, fantastic. My Irish is improving every weekend. And only for them, we'd struggle. No, the streaming is definitely helping as well. But you can't pay a 10 or whatever money or 20 quid to watch every single game, Dello. So I'm saying GAA TV, I pay whatever, the 30, whatever, 1 or 2 quid a month it is for racing TV, because we watch it every day in our
it's kind of it. Is there a bit of extortion in that now? I know you're a massive fan, like, but I was bullying with Irish racing when they went over to that crowd.
There is, but I suppose the reality is when you have this argument with people in racing, they'll come and say it's a Euro day. That's the argument back. Do you know what I mean?
You're getting a huge amount of racing. You're getting a huge amount of tracks in the UK and in Ireland as well. And the commentary is excellent. Like Jane Mangan, Ruby, all those people. Yeah. You know, the voice. They're brilliant stewards of the game now.
Well,
here's a question back at you, Dylan, right? Would you pay €30 a month for a specific GAA television channel that literally had everything up and down the country, all at different times? Like, would you pay €30 a month for that?
I've paid about 50 since the 1st of October, I'd say, for 10 hours here and 10 hours there. And yeah. Oh, yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. And I know from RTE's point of view, and I know now they're going in showing the Dublin final, RTR, on next Saturday evening from Parnell. Should be a great game. Crokes and Nafina, Liam Rush inspired Nafina this year as well. It would toss up now, see who will win that. But they just can't get in, you see. Like, TG Carr have the first rights.
Yes.
But a lot of county boards don't want to let them in, TJ, because, you know, like, does the attendance fall as a result? And I know they'd pay something to get in or whatever. They would pay how many thousands, I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of that. But TG Carr have the first rights. So it's hard to get a good game. And see, fairness to the Dublin County Board, I suppose they were willing to switch the hurling final to a Saturday evening. So not a count, you know, Limerick are not going to do that probably. I know you did with your football. You played on a Friday even, did you?
Yeah.
But I know in Clare now there'd be strong resistance not playing the hurling final on a Sunday afternoon. Kilkenny, yeah. Kilkenny, I take it the same. Cork, yeah. 2 weeks' time, Mark, confirmed already, isn't it, for the
yeah.
final?
Yeah, and they're actually going to play the Premier Senior Final and the Senior A Final in a double header, Anthony, which should draw a really, really good crowd and make a great occasion for us.
We might go down for that one.
You might even squeeze in a bit of commentary, maybe. Come here to me. You'd be talking about our fellas listening, right? So I happened to get joined in the commentary position by Joe Blake yesterday, the PRO of the Cork County Board, who slipped me a lovely note. Now, I kept the note, okay, just to prove, okay? You can see that there. Just for a point of reference on the podcast,
yeah,
from Crow Park, County Senior Finals should be €20 entry fee
at a minimum.
At a minimum. So my call out last week for a tenner has been blown out of the boat because Crow Park have given a directive that county finals must be at least €20.
Someone put up a tweet yesterday. I think Ewan McKenna pointed out the controversial Ewan McKenna on Twitter pointed out that the Kildare county final was £22. For football, for minor and senior, £22. Right. Some people said this is extortion, like, you know. But, Crow Park, tell them they have to do it, I suppose.
Well, hands are tied, but if we get two county finals for £20, that's a tenner a game as far as I'm concerned. I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say this, I must commend the Kilkenny County Board, and I hope Cork County Board will take on the same mantra for the county final. By leaving in 2,000 frontline workers for free, I'd be strong on that now. That I thought it was a great initiative from the Kilkenny County Board, and it's something that a lot of county boards should take on board. Because what the frontline workers have done for this country over the last 2 years is second to none. They put their lives on the line every day of the week, 24/7, and they're not half appreciated enough for what they have done for us. And it's only a small token, a small gesture. And I hope the Cork County Board will follow the Kilkenny County Board's lead.
Well said. Well said. Yeah. Yeah. Said you're hitting all the right notes these weeks. I tell you, boys, that we're giving you that. Bogey, we didn't have you since the groundbreaking news of your old teammate going up to Galway, and we only had Ken Hogan on the show. Shane McGrath had to cry off last week, so. We spoke about it and the surprise and the surprise here in Clare because we thought Davey had the job got, but he came in and wiped our eye as Shefflin has done on many occasions. But what's the reaction like on the ground, Hoggy? Like, I see him at the county final there yesterday, but like, is it a feeling that Jesus, what are we doing here? Letting, you know, one of our best coaches, letting one of our, you know, greatest ever sons or whatever off up to Galway to bait us, or is there a feeling on the other point of view that he could be doing a little apprenticeship in Galway? He's done it with Ballyhale and Thomastown, and now he's going into dipping his toes into Intercounty. And when we get him back, we'll have a real, you know, 5-star Intercounty manager.
Yeah, I think we were all surprised. We're in a WhatsApp group. There's a group of us, and he was on it, and we were discussing the potential Galway selection of their new managements and. I think there was one line from, interesting, .. or something. That was his sole contribution. Looking back on it, I was like, yeah, fecker. And the first I got wind of it was my brother actually texting me. He said, hey, is there any truth in it? He was looking to head down to the bookies to try and put a few quid on it. And I was like, Jesus, do you know something now? It wouldn't surprise me. He actually was very quiet, you know. And then about a half an hour later, he just put up in the WhatsApp and said, look, lads, just let you know. And unfortunately, the brother didn't get down in time to the bookies. They weren't taken. So, the mood in Kilkenny seems to be one of support towards his decision to go up to Galway. You know, there's very much a goodwill towards Henry and his decision. There's no kind of like sense of, oh, what's he going up, you know, training a rival county or anything like that. I think there's a sense that, like, look, there's nothing going to really change here for you know in the short term and it's a good opportunity for him. And anyone I was talking to, you know, obviously they don't want to see him Galway beat us, but you know they'd like to see Henry do well. You know, he's given so much to the county and that kind of thing. So there's a general sense of it's a good move for him. I think, you know, we've all spoken about Galway and the potential there. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for him and that. So, yeah, no, there's no, certainly no kind of negative, if you like, sentiment towards Henley going up to take on the role. It'll certainly make the Leinster Championship a lot even more interesting now. You know, you've seen the meetings going around to the different heads that superimposed, you know, Squid himself and Brian squaring up and whatever. We could have it in reality now in a couple of months' time. But yeah, look, he was actually just sitting down in front of me at the match. And I think he was up in Galway the day before.
Saturday.
And yeah, you know, so he's already clocking the miles up now, you know, and himself and Richie were up there, Richie Neal, who's been with him in a couple of his managerial roles. Richie's from Kilmacow, he would have been in with us with Kilkenny, he was a goalie, and you know, he's a good, shrewd kind of reader of the game. So, and I think Joyce is coming in with him as a selector from Capitale. I don't know, is that official?
It's official, yeah.
Yeah, I know they were in college together at WT. I know even when we would have been playing Galway, the lads would have been Pally, you know. So, again, someone he probably trusts. I know he's been, you know, involved in the club scene up in Galway for the last number of years, both player and coach. And so, yeah, it's a big job, it's a huge job. But I'm sure Henry's a shrewd character. He wouldn't have gone into this. He wouldn't have taken this on unless he felt, you know, there was he could make it, you know, give a good return on it. So, yeah, could be interesting there.
He's learning the words of the West's awake as we speak. TJ, obviously, his selectors are announced, and Hoagie's right, Joycey. And geez, I know they're Pelly from college, but geez, anytime I saw the two of them, anyway, no one's spare or anything. But that's what you expect, Danny Joyce, top low. But obviously, TJ, we are going to have all the first hand news about hamstrings and comebacks from Joe Canning and everything, because Kevin Lally has gone in as his other right hand man. Kevin, obviously, huge success with yourself, 3 in a row, with Thomas as All Ireland minor, with Galway as well. And it's he'll know the scene, he'll know. There's transition in Galway, like, and we mentioned that the last day, isn't there? Like, because look, Joe has retired. Obviously, there's a few, as I see, Aidan Hart, in fairness, team said, if I'm picked, I'm available. So there is transition, so the two boys will very much know what needs to be done.
Yeah, it's super exciting, I think, for Galway. I think Kevin is delighted to be part of Henry's team. For me, looking from the outside, it's great. I mentioned the county board must be literally licking their lips. They've put a beautiful management team together. I think if you're a player in the modern era in Galway, I'd say you'd be mad for road, mad to get in with Henry and Richie. Like, Damien Joyce and Kevin will know the scene inside Galway, like, really, really, really well. Like, right?
Yep.
You've always said there's an awful lot of players there, Dello. We know that. But to what you said there, there is some form of, I won't say it's not a rebuild, but maybe a restructure. Like, there's no Joe. Like, what are the six forwards going to look like? Who are going to be in the key positions? Like, we've seen Dahi Brooke this year playing at centre back. Like, getting that centre spine for Galway is crucial. Getting that right, we know that loads and loads and loads of hurlers. Your buddy, you'll be delighted, Marco. I had a very good semi final on Saturday. Evan Nyland, he scored 13 points. Is it fourth in play? Yeah. You've been beating this drum a long time. Yeah. No. But there's definitely a big challenge. But I think for the hurling world, certainly for Galway in terms of the county board and the structure they put together, and then lastly for the players, I think if you're a Galway player, this is exciting. This is something different. Like, the buy-in will be huge here. And as Brian said there, we'll know very shortly in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months' time. What I just had a brief conversation with Kevin, and obviously he's delighted. But it's going to happen quick because we're November now, right? And you remember?
Yeah.
Is the actual Ireland final date set for 2022? Is it the last Sunday in July?
The second last, I'd say, in the football, the last.
Football, the last. So if you take the Ireland final, I think the Ireland final is the second last Sunday in July, right? That's the end of it, right? So this is all going to happen very, very quick. I think the first round of the championship is potentially the last week in April, is that right?
Yeah, well, you know, even the Tip County final hadn't even been played and we were on a weekend away there. Well, I could only stay Friday night now with the old Dublin management. Yeah. We get together there and we weren't able with COVID. Obviously, we went to Belmullet for a couple of nights. I only went the Friday night, but Tommy Dunn couldn't come to the following day because Tip were getting together on a meeting. Now, whether it was a management meeting or a players meeting and asking, but just to show you, it's on. I mean, your county final hadn't even been played, and you're in it now straight away, because
2022 is going to happen quick, like between league and into the championship. So as I said, it'll be interesting, but definitely exciting for hurling. Good to see Henry on the line. Definitely will be interesting to see Henry and Cody on the line. There's no doubt about that, sure.
It's definitely going to happen with the round robin. Like they're in Salt Hill, aren't they? And probably good chance they might meet again in Leinster final, and who knows, they could meet again.
We should do the podcast from Salt Hill that weekend, shouldn't we?
We'd want to be doing these podcasts on a Sunday evening after the match.
In Salt Hill. How bad,
huh? Because if we stay in Salt Hill for the night for the podcast, we'd want to be put back till about 1 o'clock in the day.
The morning could be rough.
Great stuff, look, it's good to get the inside track, Hoggy, on with Henry. I'd say there would be always goodwill to what Henry would attempt in Kilkenny. That's what, you know, but I just still feel if Kilkenny folk are coming out of Croker beaten 4 or 5 points by Galway in a Leinster final, and Shefflin has pulled a couple of master strokes, there'll be an element why do we let him over there, lads, you know. But anyway,
that's the nature of it. Actually, you know, I suppose he has to do what he has to do. Absolutely, like when it comes down to it, the whole tribal thing next April or whatever it is we're playing, and come out the wrong side of it, it won't be like a fair play to Henry, you know. At the same time, you know, I think it's a good move for him. I think that's the general sense, is that, you know, it's a good opportunity for him. You know, but look, once across the white line, they'll be no.
I was going to say, like, that you have Michael Fenley now doing a very good job above in Offaly, and Eddie Brennan obviously did a very good job in Laois, and okay, Kevin stuck in Cooler, but certainly would be bang up there, and David Herity as well as involved. Like, you four coaches at the front line now, like, there's a bit of succession planning, I'd say, also going on in Kilkenny at the moment whenever Brian decides to leave the scene.
Well, planning now, I don't know. Might be a bit strong a word, but certainly the lads have, you know, I suppose they're getting the experience, you know, whether it's inside the county or outside. But look, the hurling circle, it's a small environment, you know. I mean, I don't personally see an issue with going out beyond the borders, you know, whether that's training clubs or counties. I mean, it's a small circle. You're trying to pull information and from all sources, you know. And there's always a great exchange of kind of, you know, train, who's doing what, you know, what type of training, and it drives everyone on. So I no doubt Henry will bring a different outlook to things that maybe a lot of the Galway players would have been exposed to before. The one thing, like, Henry will be meticulous in terms of the way he'll want things organised. He'll very much allow, you know, his backroom team to do their thing, whatever, you know, in terms of their different areas of expertise. And he won't want any fuss, you know, he won't want any commotion. The quieter he can keep it, the happier he'll be. That's just the way he'll go about it, you know. Now, easier said than done, obviously, but, you know, certainly there won't be a media circus following him around. You know, he'll be looking to just keep it as low profile as possible. And, you know, and as TJ said, like, there's not a huge amount of time until the championship comes through. And there is certainly a bit of transition there because, you know, and TJ will know better than me, but within the club scene, all these young players that are there, how many of them have put their hands up, you know, over the last number of years? It's easy to say they need to throw these lads in. But from what I understand, a lot of the standout players in the Galway Championship still seem to be the likes of your Davy Burks and these guys who have been there and done it. So, you know, Henry will... There won't be any sentiments, you know. He'll come in, he'll just go, look, I don't care what age you are, if or, you know, what experience you have, if you're doing it, you're doing it. You know, show me what you can do and I'll pick on form. And I suppose that'll probably be the way he'll look to try and approach it. It's a great opportunity for the players.
And I tell you, Huggy, I brought the Dubs down into Ennis for a championship match, crucial championship match in 12, and I didn't get a single ounce of abuse from the crowd. But I'd say that was helped seriously by Clare winning the game. they were all commiserating with me afterwards, which sure, is great. You'll be able to shout for Clare now for the rest of the year. So, yeah, look, good ones to look forward to. We stay in Kilkenny, obviously.
I was going to say, Dale, is Davey okay? We were talking to him. Is he okay after not getting the job and stuff? Did you have an old chat about it and stuff? No?
No, I haven't talked to him. Davey be going. Sure, he was on. He said, on the end of late show straight away after Friday night, sure. And he said, sure, best of luck to Henry. And no more about it, you know. But, I'd say he thought he had it, though. That talking to a couple of people, they thought that he was fairly sure on the Monday evening.
Yeah. seemed to be heading that way all right for sure, didn't it? But yeah, I was even wondering, did you have an old shoot the breeze on it and see where it was going? But
the card, the Morty is there, so we shall look now. It's a matter of interest.
I'm not sure if Dale's Wi-Fi went there or he just cut us off on purpose. You think?
That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question. Dale's going to get on to Kilkenny there shortly, but just to close out in Galway, first of all, the two semi-finals were supposed to be on in Galway the weekend, right? So the second semi-final between Gart and St. Thomas's wasn't played on Sunday due to a COVID issue. And the other semi-final, which Henry was at, Brian, on Saturday, Clarenbridge were comfortable enough winners. They beat Crockwell 3-18 to 1-14. So they're back in the final for the first time since 2011. And as I said, Marco, Evan Noyland was leading the charge. Like, so interesting.
Very good, indeed.
He was, yeah.
Centre forward.
And Henry would have been watching that, yeah. And I said he finished with, like, out of the 3-18, he finished with North 13. And I think it was about 4 points he got from play. I think 7 frees, 2 65s. He's deadly from play as well, in fairness. Yeah. Like, I know you
he's
were
a very good talent teacher.
You were beating that drum, yeah. But he's been around a while, like, and so as I said, he just hasn't broken onto the scene and nailed down a position. Now, maybe that was because of Joe, and like obviously when Joe Canning's available, he's got to play. Like, but in fairness to Evan, I would say that he'd definitely be one of the players now that would be mad keen to kind of impress Henry here and maybe get an attack built around him, certainly for 2022.
But you often find, TJ, that a player kind of knows himself that the manager is either going to pick him or he's not going to pick him. And I was very surprised when he was left off the team for the first championship match. But when he was, and Galway were very poor that day. But when he was left off the second day, I just said to myself, my God, that was a big shock now. And I felt that Galway didn't play well. And I often find that the players themselves know kind of who should be on and who shouldn't be on. And sometimes they react by not performing, maybe not meaning to do it that way, but their heart or their stomach isn't in it sometimes when the right team isn't picked. So,
yeah, well, I said he's responded in the best possible fashion for himself anyway, by leading his club back to a county final for the first time in a while. So, so as I said, he'll be mad keen, and Henry would have seen it firsthand. Dale, we just touched on the two Galway semi-finals. One,
sorry, lads. Having a bit of Wi-Fi trouble.
Yeah, and we thought you just dodged the question, to be honest. But anyway,
no, I wasn't talking. Tim TJ was dead.
Okay. We chatted about the two Galway semi-finals. There, one played, one not played, and as I said, so we've that covered. So you were just about to hit the Kilkenny County final, so we'll let you off.
I was really enjoyed it, I have to say. No consolation to you, Hoagie, that was a very enjoyable game for the neutral, as TJ said. Just couldn't believe. I did write down early on, I'd say it was just after the first water break, maybe 5 minutes into the second quarter, like, I did write down, can O'Loughlin's keep up this level of intensity? I wonder, was that a factor coming down the stretch, Hoagie, that you had given so much in terms of intensity? I mean, I thought your half-back line was unreal. The tackling, Paddy Deegan, which we'll talk about again, the top of the right, as far as I could see, was just almost unmarkable. Only downside to his day was missing the penalty, but at the same time, he was immense, I thought. And you gave an awful lot to the game, and yet they have such class. I mean, you kept their three marquee forwards, let's say, the big hitters, you kept them desperately quiet in Connell. Yeah. Well, it's TJ came to do the damage. I felt TJ came deep. And Owen Reid obviously caught the ball for the goal, first goal. And then Mullen, great flick for the second goal. And then Brian Butler obviously went through the middle. But like, to do that job and to do as much as you did at the score 3-15 and still be beaten 4 points just shows you, tells you so much about them, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. As you said, scoring 3-15 and still losing, you're kind of sitting there after a match going, how did it happen? You know, and you're trying to... And look, there's different instances during the match. You're saying ifs and buts. There's always, you know, lads, we'll go into it, you know. But I think you touched on that. I think the last quarter, you know, that water break came at the wrong time for us. We had just, you know, we'd gone a pint ahead. We had the momentum. They got the water break. They got in. They just settled things down. They came out and they hit us for, was it 1-4, 1-5. They went 8 points up. We didn't score in the last 15 minutes until we got the the point and the goal for Paddy. And it just looked like at that point, once they got that opportunity to kind of settle and come out, it looked like we were tiring, particularly around the middle parts of the field. You know, our two midfielders were out on their legs. And in the half forward line, they just started to win more ball. And with TJ and Adrian Mullen having dropped out, they were just popping it to them. And yeah, it just, it was just bloody disappointing because Jesus Christ, like I was looking at it, I said, we are flying it. And I really felt before the match, we had a great chance. You know, I thought just with the players I know that we have, there are a lot of young lads. I mean, the oldest lad in the backs is Tony. The rest of them are all probably, Hugh's the next oldest at 25. So they're all 25 below, you know, and 2 20-year-olds, loads of hurling ability. And they would have played Ballyhale quite a bit, you know, underage. The likes of Owen Cody and Mullen and that generation would have come up against a lot of these lads. They would have contested under 20 minor, you know, kind of that age group. So they'd be familiar with each other. But look, they're masters at it. You know, they don't panic. And they got their opportunities. Yeah, they got the two goals and fine. We were 3 points up. They got the two goals. They went 3 points up. We pulled it back and we went a point ahead. So we responded really well. But I just felt that last 15 minutes, we just started to tire a bit. And then a few mistakes, you know. Paddy played a great ball, switched across to the wing to Conor Heary, who was absolutely amazing.
Brilliant.
He didn't give everyone the sniff of it. Scored 2 points himself. He should have just popped it over the bar. You know, I think we're maybe 3 points down, 4 points down. Just get a point on the board. Stay within touching distance. Again, Mark Bergen had a chance. Just pulled it right at the post and wide. If that had gone over, just keep us in. Instead of that, they managed to get to 5 points ahead and then got the goal. And that was it. It was 8 points and it was going to be too much to pull back, you know.
Yeah, and the whole Deegan thing, when did that start? I mean, I wasn't aware of it until the semi-final, to be honest with you. And wearing 14, it was just weird looking at him even yesterday when the team sheets came up on TG Cahar and you're seeing P. Deegan, 14.
The fairness to the management, I think they made the call at the beginning of the year. They felt like, you know, you're always, at club level, you're always looking where to position your county players. Where can you get the most bang for your buck out of them, you know? And they would have had Hugh fullback, Paddy centre-back, Paddy midfield, you know, I mean, he's an engine on him. He'd go all day. But I think there was probably a sense that we needed a bit of grunt up in the forwards, you know, a kind of a focal point. You know, we had Goethe for years. And we haven't had that kind of, and Paddy was happy to do it. And Paddy kind of, the only thing, I was chatting to Paddy a few months ago and he said, listen, as long as I'm left there, I don't want to be chopping and changing and bringing it back. Yeah. And, you know, if it matters, if they're making a decision, leave me up there and let me work into the position. And he's been absolutely outstanding. Like in any of the games I've watched, like the joke is now that he's dead himself. He's put his hand up. I tell you, like, Cody's been at a couple of the matches. I mean, he's been absolutely outstanding. In the quarterfinal against Mun Labatt, himself and Owen Wall inside were causing havoc. Now, the possession dried up and they had to bring him out back out the field. And he came back out the field to midfield and just took over then. But we lost him. We lost his presence inside. You've seen him. He's aggressive. You know, he intimidates some of the backs. There's one game in particular where he did actually intimidate. You know, they just didn't want to stand in with him, you know. And in a good way, he'll just stay going. He's, you know, so even when he doesn't have the ball, he turns into a back straight away. You see him trying to chase. He made a two or three occasions. He made there wasn't the hope of him getting to hook the ball, but no one was telling him that. And that kind of sets out, that kind of sends a kind of signal to the rest of the forwards. Listen, this is the work rate I'm doing. You better row him behind me, kind of, you know. And we got some, like, Owen Wall made a fantastic hook on TJ there in the second half. And would he have made that yards if Paddy maybe wasn't up there setting the standards? But, and then, of course, throwing the scores he got. You know, like, it's one thing going up there and making a nuisance yourself, but he threw two balls over the bar under the
top of the right position there, right? Yeah. There were 7 scores.
Off either side. I mean,
off either side, yeah.
One of them, he took a quick sideline. Ball was popped back to him. And he literally just had time just to take it in hand, pop it up and over the bar. And we could tell, because there's a big O'Loughlin's contingent over in the old stand side. There's a crew of families that always go to that side, and they were roaring, so we could tell it was going over the bar before it nearly, you know, as soon as it left his hurl, they're Oscar. So we knew, you know, Jesus, savage scores, you know.
The couple of notes I had, Brian,
was 2-3 from play,
2-3 from play, and he missed the penalty. It could have been 3-3. Yeah. But Brian, just before half time, I suppose, he had 5 points of a lead. And yeah. maybe the referee might have been a little bit generous with the extra time there in the first half. But yeah. those two scores, like TJ got the first one, and then like it's just that's kind of the sign of a real, real quality team. They knew yeah. they just need to get one or two scores. And the second thing was the first goal for Ballyhale in the 35th minute. It was a great opportunity for a point for O'Loughlin-Gales going through the middle there, right?
Yeah.
And that actually ended up being the first goal, which was just a killer blow. But look, you have to credit them as well. Like, I mean, they're just like, there's just so many good players.
Yeah.
You can keep them quiet for so long. But I knew at the start of the game when I saw the wide eyes of Matt Endy, and he was just ready for battle. And he just got the kind of impression through the TV. Yeah. That I said, Andy Comerford, you could see the eyes, oh, yeah. the championship eyes were in his eyes early doors. Like, and it started that way. But
yeah, well, look. TJ, go on.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to talk on before we go is the referee. Jesus, it was hard to get a free dinner.
Well, I was writing a piece about it, and I was saying maybe Kilkenny aren't quite producing the amount of superstars of the great, you know, the four in a row team and subsequent winners of so many, and Cody's heroes, let's say, Hoagie's team. By Jesus, some things have never changed in terms of endeavour and hard fought stuff for frees and that. Jesus Christ, you'll be killed before you get a free.
Yeah, yeah. Owen would have heard him said he's Johnstown, so JJ's club, you know, to be tough boys out there. But he was a good hurler himself. But it wasn't about the ref by any stretch of imagination. I think he, you know, there were certainly cases. I think Hugh came through in the second half, and the helmet was nearly half pulled off, and no free, and they got the point off it, and that was the run that they got of those 5 points. You know,
I know, but, Huggy, you won't condemn. Now I know you won't condemn a ref, right? I know that's not your way. You played enough of the Cody refereed games. Like, I thought the Deegan one for me was borderline a red. Like, he flicked the ball on, and the Ballyhale lad didn't stop, and the hurley was high. It was a moment in the game.
It was.
Massive. Yeah, it would have been massive at the time.
And he made a mistake. I think he admitted it. Sure, Paddy was cut. He was cut on the nose. I think I don't know what, he obviously thought Paddy just went down, but like when he went in, Paddy was bleeding. He was clear, and he knew he made a mistake, you know. And look, to be fair, you're going to make, you know, you'll get someone when you don't get others, and you just dust yourself off and you go again. It was definitely free, and it should have, you know, and it was.
But
like TJ mentioned a couple of key moments, and there were several, like the first goal that Ballyhale got where we should have had a point. Even after all of that, and after riding the storm of them getting the two goals and going from 3 points up to 3 points down and then pulling it back on a point up, in that last quarter, we had a great chance for a goal. Paddy Butler got the ball, and Joey on the line stopped it and went straight down the field, and they got a score. I think they got a goal, or, you know, certainly got a score off it anyway. So again, another case in point where that would have been game changing for us. That would have been that would have pushed us on, and then to stop it on the goal line and go down the other end of the field and punish you. That's Ballyhale, you know. They're just clinical like that.
You've seen them, haven't
they? They do. I mean,
they're probably as good a team as coming a long time out of Kenya, aren't they? Just savage. Unbelievable.
And they always have like, I mean, if you look at like Owen Reid there, Owen is obviously TJ's brother. I mean, I think Owen has played in, I don't know what his record is, it's ridiculous. They've won the 2-4 in a row now in 10 county finals. I think he's played in every one of them. Like, because in certain ones, Henry was injured in his cruciate, TJ broke his kneecap again. So they've all missed one of the count. Owen is the only one. He started yesterday. He's the only one that's played in every single one of them over the last, since 2006, you know. And, you know, how many years? Jesus, you're like, I must be on my career playing against the lads, and, you know, and we were lucky on a couple of occasions and we got the better of them. But more often than not, you know, and you're targeting TJ or Henry and trying to keep him quiet and all. And it's the likes of Owen or Mark Aylward or, you know, they're hurlers across the field. They mightn't be as well known as the big household names, but they can all hurl, you know. And to be fair, it's a phenomenal, I don't know if you've ever passed through Knocktofer or Ballyhale, like me. You know, it's a country rural parish. There's not a whole lot there. There's a pub, a shop, but like just what they've achieved over the last 20 years. And you know, it's a relatively young club. I think they're 50 years next year. It's their anniversary. They're on 19 county titles now, you know.
Would you think there'd be a feeling that maybe, look, I was banging the drum last year in the semi-final, Huggy, that Kenny needed to put TJ into full forward. Needed him for forward. And Jackie was sort of agreeing with me and not agreeing with me. And I just thought him going deep, and I jotted it down at the time, Reid very deep. Jesus, the damage he did from deep. Like, I mean, one of the points was just, and he let in the ball that Owen Reid caught that came to the goal. And like, would someone like a Deegan maybe up there now, you know, around a Mullen and a Noan Cody and these guys, would that allow maybe, you know, Cody to just solidly play TJ next year at 11 and let him roam deep? Be a serious option, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like, look, TJ is class, you know, but he doesn't have the legs that he had 5, 6. Like, I mean, it's obvious. Like, I've been at county finals where he pick a ball up on the midfield half, a breaking ball coming off, and he's gone. And it's a goal chance from 40, 50 yards out. He doesn't have that in his arsenal anymore. But what he does have is he just has that vision, that ability to win ball, that vision, you know, use of the ball. Like, he got a point there in the second half. I think Owen won it. So took it down, ridiculous skill, took it down on the hurl, played it backwards to TJ, and he had no time, just up in the air, drove straight on over the bar. And, you know, and his intelligence, you know, he dropped out the field, you know, picked up a couple of balls, and then looked, they looked to try and isolate. They looked to try and get a matchup, just get someone. And Owen is brilliant, that on your shoulder, back post, you know, you don't know where he is then, you know, and he gets you. And, you know, they're excellent. So, yeah, TJ, you know, look, not that there'll never be any kind of, in the Kilkenny setup, never any kind of freedom to say you don't have to do the hard yards. You just go and float around. That just won't happen. But at the same time, I think they need to kind of allow TJ that little bit of freedom to just go and try and dictate the game a bit more. We don't want him in the rooks, you know, if we can help it, you know, because he does. When he gets on the ball, things happen, you know, whether it's with Ballyhale or with Kilkenny. It's as simple as that.
Do you know the other one that Hugh had a very solid game, like centre, whether you could allow him
He was outstanding. I was chatting to him last night. Like, had I been in that situation with Henry as well, is where they've dropped out the field, and then do you hold your position or do you follow him out? And I suppose, you know, the amount of space that was there, and they were able to exploit that by putting the ball in front of Owen and Cody and that. But really, the problem was that we were tiring out the field so much that the lads just couldn't get the hits in, you know, to try and congest that area. So then, you know, Hugh had to push up, you know, because he was getting on too much ball at that stage, and that was just creating a hole. So it comes back to that kind of issue, I think, just around possibly bringing in some fresh legs a bit earlier, you know, probably would have helped.
Yeah, and one I just wanted to mention was Ronan Corcoran deservedly getting man of the match on the TV. Did you see some game in field, and maybe one and not one of the bigger names? Beyond the Kilkenny panel, would he, Oggy?
No. Dara, the wing back, was on the Kilkenny panel there. He was on it. I think he might have got man of the match in the Club All Ireland. He was on the panel there. He played a couple of National League games. But yeah, look, I think they won the midfield battle. You know, they got 5 points from midfield. You know, and that had a big bearing on the game because, you know, at different stages they popped up for big scores. But Ronan and Brian and Brian Cody and. Yeah, it just, you know, and then, as I said, when our lads started to tire in there, they put in such a shift that their half-back line just started taking over. And with Richie Reid, centre-back, he likes to, as you say, quarterback it. He likes to float around. He's not, you know, he's not a natural defender. What he is a brilliant distributor of ball. Now, he's a super hurler, don't get me wrong. But if you allow him to get his head up and start pinging balls, he's pinging balls into serious forwards, like, you know. And I thought we did really well putting him under pressure. He wasn't coming out with ball for large portions of the game. But a crucial stage, you know, he started getting on a bit of ball. I think we went for a puck out. Stephen went for a puck out. We had a good matchup. Owen O'Shea was on him. He had it back to Owen. He caught the ball over Owen, played it down the wing, and they got a score off us. And again, that was in that same period of play. Small things, you know, but they're the small things you have to get right if you're going to...
Yeah, I said the bookmakers will be just looking at one team for the All-Ireland Club again. And anyway, that's with due respect to all the great teams that have already won championships, the Ballygunners and the Kilmallocks already, and whoever comes out of Dublin and the Rapparees, I would think Ballyhale will be looming large. Whatever, you know, whether Thomas has come out in Galway yet, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But they seriously are... a major force there.
Give a mention to James O'Connor there, Jaxer, the coach. Ryan, he's made a water for there, made a big impression, I'd say, with Ballyhale, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, look, coming in after Henry, you could be forgiven for saying, are you mad? You know, two Club All-Ireland, like, where do you go from there? But he's done a great job, you know, and I think, look, a bit like Henry maybe with Galway, he knew he had a lot of talent to work with, you know, and... these lads have been on the road for, you know, for the last decade, you know, and it's just, I suppose, it's not about coming in and trying to reinvent the wheel. It's just keeping the ship steady, you know, and you have enough leaders in there as well, you know, to keep kind of, you know, things on. So he's done a great job, in fairness to him, you know, because, look, anytime you come into clubs, you know, set up, the players are sussing you out. You're sussing the players out. There's all that bit going on. And particularly when they were coming off the back of two Club All-Irelands, you know, it's a tough thing to try and follow on from. But no, look, he's done a great job, you know, and they're more so Kilkenny supporters, Ballyhale supporters. They expect success, you know, so it's a tough gig.
And I know he would have been, he was thrilled last year to win the county, obviously, but the fact that they couldn't go on to a Leinster campaign in All-Ireland, and
yeah,
there were so many brilliant teams that won the counties last year, the big names nearly in every county came out. It would have been a magnificent, you know, Leinster or Munster campaign afterwards in an All-Ireland series. So thankfully this year we're going to have that series, and obviously going to be a lot of big names in the pot in the next couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, it's going to be great, definitely great club championship, Leinster, provincial, Munster, Leinster, whatever, and then the All-Ireland series, you know, Ballyhale are not going to be too far away from it.
Yeah, they go on now, which is the beauty of the club, like, is that most Leinster Rangers, great club in Carlow, get a shot at Ballyhale, isn't that great, like, as well, you know what I mean, like, you could never really conceive that Carlow would beat Kilkenny, but at club level, does that little tinge, probably won't happen, Ballyhale are so strong, but sometimes, you know, the weaker county champions can have a chance, you know, against the big county.
Mullinocta.
We can't expect you to pronounce anything outside of Cork, really. we don't attempt to pronounce the Cork teams, like. we let you at that, like, you know. But look, before we go to the little All-Ireland, as he said when he was late into his commentary duties yesterday, with the traffic, two lanes of traffic going into the park and all that, but we do a wrap up, TJ, maybe around the country, just great leash final, I believe.
Great leash final, yeah.
And Buff Egan got locked into the toilets in O'Moore Park, and there might have been a school of thought that he should have been left there, but he made his way back to Ballacolla anyway. Seemed to be a great final. I think Stephen Picky Maher and Willie Dunphy swung it. They were outstanding, I think. Obviously can't see everything, but a great Will match.
Willie Dunphy got 5 points to play, but my uncle was showing me last night, actually, in fairness to Buff Egan, I think he had up on his page the highlights and the scores from the game. I wouldn't be on that social media platform, but the lads were showing it to me last night. But Clark Ballycollar won at 125-221. And believe it, there were 7 points down at half time, and the game had kind of swung back to them, and then it kind of seemed to swing away again. But yeah, definitely Peaky Maher and Willie Dunphy. Willie Dunphy got 5 points in play. I was reading as well last night, I think it's Clark Ballycollar's first time doing back-to-back county titles, so they retained it. So, but yeah, great game. And I suppose back to the earlier point that I was making about the Laois County final, it was, it appeared, good crowd, good match, something great comeback. Just would be a great game maybe to catch up with during the weekend. Going back to GAA TV to have something like a Laois County final.
Great. I know, in fairness to TG Carr, they will show the highlights tonight, like you'd love maybe a bit of debate back to the studio. What did you think of that? And maybe have a Laois guy coming in, and it would be great, right,
to give it the justice that it deserves. And as I said, even the Westmeath County final was played as well. And even just to kind of maybe watch that full game, because you know yourself, in a snapshot of 2 or 3 minutes, you see a couple of scores, and it doesn't give you a kind of a feel for the game. Like, so, but to do all those county finals justice going forward, and in relation to other competitions, whether it's underage or Fitzgibbon Cups or football competitions and everything going forward, I'm saying GAA TV has to be on the way. I'm not sure if it's going to be done by the GAA or done by, let's say, an outsider, and then it's paid for by the public, and then the GAA should be able to gain out of it, which would mean that everyone down the road and we can see all these county finals. But
great win for Raharney as well. I see Mr. Killian Dyle was at it again. Two line balls.
Two line balls.
I tell you, they're a good crowd at finals, Raharney. They don't, when they get in there, they usually deliver, like, you know. beating Castleton Gagan there. He got 11 points altogether. Those Dial twins, I told you before about them. They came down to fail. I went up to see, like, who are we playing the first round? That's the Westmeath crowd. Sure, we'll win that. Like, the Westmeath crowd, sure, we should be winning that. Jesus, these two twins under 14, they made dirt of our fellas. But, great win for them there. Semi-final in Offaly, TJ. Ken is there by his fingernails.
Ken is there by his fingernails, yeah. I saw the results. But before you even go to Offaly, the final was in Armagh as well, Dalo, and yes, that same story, right? Like Keady, they actually, unfortunately, they got beaten in the county final by Middletown. They were beaten 220-212. But we hosted Keady Lob Darragh in our club a number of years ago. And again, talking about super hurlers, passionate about hurling, really, really good. And we were playing Keady Lob Darragh in the first game from Armagh. And the general perception would be that this team would be within your compass, but they came down and just were way too strong for Offaly. They were really, really, really good hurlers. And unfortunately, they were saying a lot of them don't continue after the fail. And that's, I suppose, maybe one of the reasons why the fail has been moved to under 15 to try and keep them playing a bit longer. But again, unfortunately for Keady, and I know some of the guys, Paul and the lads, a huge amount of work done up there in hurling. And unfortunately, they lost out to Middletown.
Yeah, we don't like Keady, TJ and Clarecastle. We're twinned with Cuchulainns in Armagh City. Great rivals for this
great rivals, massive, yeah.
Yeah, massive rivals. But I often went up there presenting medals and the tournament. We do it with Ron Moore and Watford ourselves and Cuchulainns. And of course, the Clarecastle 1 year, all the families host the kids and the mentors. And it's a brilliant weekend. Like, it's nearly better when it's away, when it's in Watford or in Armagh. We traditionally hear that we don't like Keady. But that's the usual thing. That's the usual thing, isn't it?
All I can say to you, Dello, is they're a lovely crowd, lovely bunch of people. Fanatical hurling people.
Huh? Yeah, no. And while we're on that, you know, again, a final you wouldn't hear too much about, but a great report on it in the Examiner. I think Mark, you highlighted last week, the Tyrone final. Carrigmore beating our friends in Oanrua, fantasy hurling men beating in the final there. I think the feeling was that Carrigmore would be a bit stronger than Dungannon in it, like, and they beat him 16-9. So hard luck to the lads there. Well done to Carrigmore. I'm not sure, but we'd have great old, obviously, relations with the lads. And Rhinas and Coolderry setting up two of our great old pals in Brian Carroll, still doing the business for Coolderry, and Ken leading Rhinas. Two great games again, I think. Very tight. Was it 118 to 20 points, the first one, and the second one was very tight as well with Shin Rowan coming right back at Coolderry as well, having been 9 points down. But so that sets up an interesting one there. Can Ryan has won two county championships in the 1 year? That brings us on then, I think. Am I leaving out anyone, TJ?
I think we're done. Thanks,
that's
Brian.
It for today. Yeah,
yeah,
thanks,
Brian.
Thanks,
Brian. No worries,
man.
We can all go now.
Mark, we got contrasting games in the Rebel County, it's fair to say, I thought. You know, first game, watch back the highlights now, but I was trying to keep an eye on it, but I was locked on to the Kilkenny final, I have to say. But Jesus, there were scores coming from everywhere. And then the second one, sat down, relax, watch it, and I thought it was tense, and it was your typical county semi-final, wasn't it? It was all about getting there, and again, the Glen, old masters, get a job done again. Like,
unbelievable. It was Glen to the core now, I'd have to say. They stifled Sarahs from the get-go. They probably played on Sarahs' weaknesses, which would be they have a lot of lads, a lot of young lads who haven't won county finals or haven't been in county senior finals. The Glen have got into their sixth county final in 8 years, and they toughed it out for the 62-63 minutes. And in fairness to Shawnee McGrath, co-commentary had mentioned before the game and after the first water break, they just want to keep this one tight, and if they keep it tight and stay in the game for as long as possible, that there's a good chance that the Glen would come to the fore near the end. And like, this is the third match in a row, Dalo, that they have toughed it out. Like,
Mark, Shawnee said at the water break, and there were 2-5 down. Very happy now who were the Glen out. I just thought, like, Jesus, Shawnee.
Yeah. Well, like, Sales have been putting up kind of 224, roughly speaking, in most of their matches. So the fact that they were held to 5 points in the first quarter, 8 points at half time, 8-7. The Glenn must have been delighted, you know. But like the big, I suppose the big talking point in event, and we covered this last weekend, was whether Hoggy would have the red card rescinded that he got against the McKinley, which was correctly rescinded.
It was important.
Well, 1-11, 1 point there, and the goal he got was an absolute rocket straight after half time. And it was exactly what the Glenn needed, you know. They just needed a little bit of a kick to get in front. And you know, if you're the Sarah sideline, Myers and Peter Queeley are involved in them and given kind of 5 or 6 minutes of instructions, and next of all you can see the goal of the first attack of the game kind of blows the whole thing open. But Sales will be disappointed, Dale, that they didn't cut loose. And Jack O'Connor, who has had a great inter-county season, hasn't had a great club season, was absolutely brilliant for 50 minutes of the game. He was brilliant now. He got 4 points in play, but every one of them, he picked him up and took on the man and went past him. He certainly must be the fastest man in Holland at the moment, because
he got one score there before the stand. He took the puck out, remember, in the left half-back position. And he just squared up his man, right? And just burnt him, didn't he?
It was gaslight, TJ, because he looked at him and he said, right, okay, I go the outside, so. And he just went outside him. And he just moved away, like, just...
It was wide and all the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mark, first of all, a couple of questions. How did Hoggy get off?
CCTV. Video.
Behind the camera.
Yeah. And in fairness to the county board, I think made it available. And, you know, rightly so, to be honest with the teacher, because, you know, you must right or wrong at the end of the day. And he was wrongly sent off, as it comes out now. And the CCTV, I think, has shown that he didn't strike John Cronin.
It's some game. That's the book. Like, 1-5 from play.
Yeah, but, he was brilliant, teacher. Like, I mean, and like, I couldn't understand how Sarah's, I mean, William Carney was left on him for probably most of the game. Conor Sullivan picked him up later on, but he got couple of pods played into him right on the outside, and you know how he wants to get the half the yard on you. He has the ball in his hand, he'll give you that shimmy left or right, and you don't know which way he's going. But once he sees the goal, as well as his left or right, his wrists are unbelievable. He's very, very accurate. But it was a real performance for the ages out of Patrick yesterday. Now brilliant.
I heard Patrick kind of say that typical Patrick Horrigan score, like the one over the left shoulder, which it was the goal. Do you see the goal there? Like, he basically had the ball, right, and he was kind of running in, and it looked like as if he was going to take a pint, right?
But yeah,
the defender Hoggy, he just went to hook him, right, because he thought he was going to hook him. And then it was like very split second, right, Hoggy like realized the defender lost his hurley, right, and then in this last second, right, he decided have a go for the goal. The goalkeeper wasn't expecting it then, because it looked like it was going to be an easy point. And your man lost his hurley, and then he changed his mind. But there's probably the win in the game.
It was definitely, and he definitely had top spin on it as well. Like, you know the way he strikes those 21s and the penalties in the past, underneath the crossbar.
Yeah,
like your man in goal, Kennedy, never even flinched, never stirred. Now, the gas thing about the whole thing is that the lights came on straight after the goal was scored, and there was only half the lights on, so we were in darkness on the Black Rock end, and we had beautiful lights on the other side. Like, so it was electric, I must say. But again, the two Downies and Brian Mylan in the half back line for the Glen were unbelievable. Adam O'Donovan, probably a lesser known player, was very good in the middle of the field, and Dean Brosnan was very consistent as well. But it was a pure Glen performance. So they really toughed it out, you know.
Yeah, and what strikes me, Mark, is maybe I was looking at the last water break, and you were commenting on the tactics board being out for Sarahs and by the same. And I said it maybe today in the column, like, that there was Graham Cannon inside. He'd some fella caught by the neck inside of the last water break. Like, and you know, there was a couple of moments there, Ian Robert Downey made one catch in injury time, like, and you know, it was a traditional, I'm going up for it. No, he drove it out over the sideline down the other end of the field. But, I mean, it was a grand place to drive it to him one way that you were defending a sideline cut way back. But I just think, sometimes in these games, all the tactics, and it just comes down to maybe that fight and that know-how. And their level of consistency now in the last 9 or 10 years, the Glen has gone to super heights, like.
Yeah, like I have to say, like, so Ian Lynham has taken over the team Richie Keller would have been the manager for, we say, the last five county finals. Ian was Richie's right hand man, I suppose, his coach and stuff like that. So it's great for Ian as well. Because I suppose when you're a coach, you like to step up to the manager's plate at some stage as well. So that was a big thing. But you know, David Cunningham and Graham Cannon, two great warriors as well, two kid hogs that played for the Glen. Like they were hardy boys and they were playing, like, you know, and they certainly added to the backroom staff there as well in the Glen. But like you're talking about Downey and about the simple things, like we saw it at inter-county level. He has a very, very good hand. And yesterday he was excellent again. Anything under the dropping ball, he was really, really good again, you know. So but his younger brother Owen is a player for the future, I would think, Anthony. He has plenty of ability now. He was cornerback on the under 20 team that won the All Ireland as well this year. He's a good lad now, and he's plenty of pace as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, set up a county.
They'll take a bit of beating, Matt, but the other one, I suppose an awful lot of people, you know, my good pal John Mullan was telling me to Blackrock for the Munster club. But when I was looked at the scoreline at one stage, I said, well, I hope you didn't have too much on that. But the back-to-back can be, it's hard to do, obviously, in a county that's so equal nearly in the standards. But Middleton have an awful lot of big names on the team. And I suppose after the last day, we spoke about Conor Lehan and maybe could Kieran Kixon have another look? Jesus, he came up with a few marquee scores. And we were on about the Jack O'Connor score, and he got a very similar one, albeit not with the same pace, under the stand mark. So just Lehan, throwback, like, wasn't he? He got four from play, I think.
Four from play, ten overall, but he was excellent now from the get-go. And we mentioned the last, like, could he have something to offer? Ken mentioned about, you know, could he have the impacts of the 10 or 15 minutes near the end of the game? Certainly, it's probably worth exploring if a player is willing to do that, put in the hard graft and the time that's required to know you're only going to be giving maybe 10 or 15 minutes. You know, that's a conversation that Kim thinks that might happen. There obviously has been a lot of changes in the Cork backroom staff in the last couple of weeks since we last spoke. Noel Furlong has gone in as coach. Pat Mulcahy has been added to the management. Jock Cunningham has gone sideways. And Gary Keegan is back as well. So lots of changes in Kim Kingston's last year in charge at the moment. Anyway, so
typical Cork. Typical Cork. You forgot about the clear man gone. Typical Cork. You forgot about
that's
the
right, clear
man.
Sorry, Dale.
Christy.
I think in an article in the Echo there, I didn't get a chance to read it now. But, you know, there's a lot of changes. But I think if Conor puts another performance together like he did yesterday, well, then maybe he may want a call back and stuff like that. But you'd have to say that the performance from Midland was probably the best performance they've produced in at least a decade. Everyone to a man was outstanding, from the keeper right up to Sean O'Mara, Conor Fowler, who come in and started his first starting game yesterday. Well, like two with Carmel Buzan, who would be kind of a youngish player, plenty pace, got a goal and 3 points yesterday, added to the 4 points he got from play in the quarter final, and he got 4 points from play against Sars as well on a beaten team. So he has done really, really well. Luke Farrell was brilliant yesterday, even though he mightn't have scored a whole pile, but he was on a huge amount of ball, got fouled umpteen times, and probably created the last goal-scoring opportunity where he could have tapped the ball over the bar, but he saw Ross O'Regan coming in. He parted. Now, there was a bit of a fortuitous finish to the ball, obviously, because I said Gavin Connolly in goals thought he was going to hit a rocket. He had gone to ground, and when he went to strike the ball, the defender hooked him and the ball trickled in over the line. So, like, you need a bit of luck to win everything. But
I saw the highlights, Matthew. Hoggy, it was a very open game. Like, it was loads of great scores. Touching Conor Lehan first, I'd be a fan. I think he definitely has something to offer Cork. I don't think that you can leave that quality behind in whatever form it comes, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 70 minutes. I think he has something to offer. But 4:22 to 3:19, I suppose, tells its own story in terms of how the game was played. You would be definitely questioning, and I heard you questioning the fullback. Well, you said Mark, he might have been fouled even for the first goal, like, right? But like, some of the defence bordered on the kind of comical, McNally, I was going to say, rather than bad. Like, it was just stuff that you wouldn't see happening anywhere. It was just mad, one mad score after another, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was like the goals, 7 goals in any match. He'd kind of tell you a little bit about defending, I suppose, in some respects. But like Parky Queeve is in great shape, I would say. It's like it's still top of the ground. The ball is moving really quickly there, and I'd say both teams don't have a whole pile of tactics. I would say BlackRock play a traditional game. You know, good strong physical team. They go long more often than not. But definitely Gary Narbog, who's a really has been a tough defender, probably lacks a yard or two, got exposed on the first goal. Normally would have won that ball, it broke to Cormac Cousin, but the minute the ball went in, I said, that's gone in. This is done and dusted, because Cormac Cousin is like a hare with a ball, like, you know, so that was a problem for them.
I'm not sure. Did you see that goal, Brian? The one, was it the second goal or the third goal that Middleton got, where the keeper mishit the puck out straight to the Middleton midfielder, right? He basically was having a shot for a point, right? Where he kind of more or less mishit it. And there was two BlackRock defenders, right? Two of them on the 21-yard line, right? So the ball was about to win over his head. And he just overreached. He knocked the ball back down, right? And as he did that, the other defender came and hit him, right? And the two of them took each other completely out of it, right? Which left two Middleton players inside the 14-yard line. It was just, it was an unbelievable goal to concede, wasn't it?
TJ,
you took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was thinking. Was 4:22, 3:19. Like, was there anyone defending at all? You know, and I haven't seen the match. I must say that straight up. But it would strike me that Middleton, you know, and I would have played against them once or twice. They like that kind of open, you know, free flowing game. If it's a shootout, it obviously played into their hands. Like, they're surely not going to get that sort of space against Glenn in the final.
Yeah, you're right. Both teams know exactly what's coming now. And, like, in fairness to the Glen, last year's county final now, they hurled out of their skins against BlackRock and they put up a big score as well. So don't be underestimating. I know the way they've won. They beat Newtown. They beat McKinley and they beat Stairs by a pint to 2 pints, all in similar fashions. But they can step on the gas as well as they did in the county final last year. So you could get sucked into a fact that they said this is going to be a dogfight the next five. Things will open up for them. So the county finals, in some respect, have a habit of taking on a life of their own in Cork. And a lot might depend on who might be reffing the game, because there are some refs are inclined to leave it go, and then there are some refs that are inclined to blow an off of that more. So the referee, whoever's going to get the finals, could have a big bearing on the result. But I have to say, Middleton really surprised an awful lot of people in the county last year. They hadn't really set very high standards so far. They hadn't hurled as well as they did. They hurled out of their skin. And Tommy O'Connell at centre-back was really brilliant.
The point he got.
Unbelievable. Like, he raced 50, 60 yards up the field from centre-back and hit it off his left. He's a real quality player. Sean O'Leary Hayes was good as well. It'll be interesting to see, will Middleton put him or will they put Luke Dineen on Patrick Hogan in the final? Luke has been a very solid fullback all year long, and he has got most of the responsibility of mapping the better players. So that'll be a question. Like, Simon Kenneth and Christy Riggs Benson will be playing as well in the full forward. And so I think the two of them will match up against each other. But who take who, I'd say, would be the biggest question there.
The goal Niall Cashman scored, I heard you referencing Kyle Hayes. Like, again, Niall Cashman got it in the right half-back position. Stole it all the way up the field, Brian. And Brian's thinking, where were the defenders again, right? But again, like, he must have stole it 70, 80 yards, did he?
I actually saw it back last night, TJ. I think it was Michael O'Halloran gave him a hand pass on the 70-yard line. And he kept going and kept going. And next of all, he's inside the 14-yard line. Bang, back in the
16,
2:13. Game back on, like, and in the middle, and go straight down the field,
and
get another goal. It was just incredible stuff, like, you know.
Yeah, really want to look forward to the Little All Ireland 2 weeks' time. The lights hopefully will be on. I don't know who'll be doing the commentary. Quote of the game yesterday was Patrick Mulcahy, a commentary. He says, "Well, why would you be passing it when you have Patrick Hogan and was wide?" It was the only wide.
The other big news. Can you hear me there? news over the weekend, obviously, is on the Senior A side of things. Noosa's Town were 7 points up and a man up at the last water break and managed to stumble into a draw and can top one by 8 or 9 points in extra time. But the other semi-final is on next weekend between Bride Rovers and Fabre O'Neill's. And the one coming out of Fabre O'Neill's is that Declan Dalton had a serious injury in training Sunday morning. Now, he's after scoring 330 out of 562, so Fabre the championship for them. And it looks as though he's going to miss the semi-final, which would possibly he could swing it back towards Bride Rovers now in that situation. But it is a... it is a local derby as well. They played each other last year and Fabre O'Neill's had an easy victory, but Bride Rovers are a good bit better this year. But it's if Dalton has a serious injury, as we think it is, he'll be out for a bit, you know. But both those finals are going to be on in the fortnight time. So it's a great day's hurling, and it's I hope that the crowds will come and support. There was a great atmosphere in Parky Queeve yesterday. There was only 6,500 people paid in, but maybe kids, there might have been 3,000 or 4,000 kids and stuff for that are not accounted for. But you'd be just hoping that there would be a big crowd at the county final to create a great atmosphere.
Everyone's just checking out there to see Dickie Dalton will be out running this evening or something. I bet he's fine. <isn't> he?
It's the Landers rubber mill. Dickie Dalton. He's doing figure of eight.
The funny thing a fella said to me today, Jamal, he mightn't be so bad. They might play him in goals, he said.
Any progress, TJ?
Dale, I got a call from New York actually during the week, and from a
going over there
of the podcast
live show.
The invitation was sent is on the way to you for a live show from New York. Eddie Wiley, Greg Kilmallock, man. So basically, anybody who's going to New York and they need a chauffeur or being driven around the place, you can give Eddie a shout. But he's a big listener to the podcast, Dale, so he just wanted to give a shout out and say that we're welcome over there anytime. If we're going, we will. Like, yeah, I will travel.
My old pal over there, Johnny Kennedy, you know, the long haul, himself and Connor Sketches, they have a pub there. Johnny has said it to me a few times, Dale. Live show on the long haul. What's the story? And I want to give a shout out to our championship sponsors, Renault, Paddy McGee, Blessington, for the first time in 38 years, won back the Wicklow senior football title yesterday with his nephew Whacker as captain. There could be a large day in Blessington today, I'd say. Will there be a large day in O'Loughlin's, Hoagie?
Yeah, I'd say that. I'd say it has to be done. The lads are, what time is it? And I'll just, they're well on the stage show.
Yeah. With Mick Galway in the middle of them singing.
Guaranteed. Listen, I left him in the club there last night. He was still going out of it. He's guaranteed. He'll be holding the whole hip. The only thing is, no one wants to be getting in rounds with him. That's the only thing. He'll be avoiding that.
He'll kill you. Don't tell me. I think I'm meeting him next weekend. So that could be a test of stamina. Yeah, he's loved. Galway is loved in Kerry. He's loved in Limerick. He's now loved in Kilkenny, and obviously he's loved nationwide as well with all he's done for us.
He's fantastic. And his wife Joan is the head of the Camogie Club. She's done and is doing fantastic work with on the Camogie side, you know, and is the real driving force there. But yeah, look, he's some bio.
Yes. Hoagie, thanks for joining us. Great stuff as always, lads. We'll talk to you next week. Larry, will you have a word with Tony there to see what he sort out my Wi-Fi? Man, the show is going well. Like, the Wi-Fi's killing me here.
The Wi-Fi is good in New York, Dale.
Top class in New York. And any Irish bars in London, we'd be willing to talk to them as well. Or maybe Paris or anything like that, you know. So, great stuff, lads. We will travel. We're not getting involved heavily in coaching teams next year, so we will travel. Mark will probably be over there anyway for the Prix de l'Arc or something like that. And sure, TJ, the Breeders' Cup could be New York next year, so we could maybe take in the two.
The Breeders' Cup is on the bucket list, Dillo.
TJ, did you see that the Japanese had two winners at the Breeders' Cup? First time ever, am I right in saying that?
Correct, yeah.
The Japanese win, yeah. We have a little bit of a connection coming here on Killer and Belly Park with the Japanese.
Ken Buds. Ken Buds is on his way to Tokyo as we speak. Good stuff. All right. Talk to you.
Down Dello.
Thanks, Hoagie.
See you,
lad. See you,
bye. Thanks, you,
bye. Pleasure.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.